Hi from the National Studios in Broadcasting House here in Accra. I am George Asikri with this edition of Behind the News, where we bring you latest updates and detailed analysis of current happenings in Ghana. Tonight, Parliament gives the green light for the collection of mandatory towing fees. How ready are vehicle owners and transport unions? We hear from them. And graduates from colleges of agriculture accuse government of neglect and discrimination. What exactly are their concerns? We will hear from them shortly and also get a response from the ministry. Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our show tonight. As usual, you are encouraged to be an active listener by joining the conversation via our text line 0266-026-941.
Behind the News, your incisive news analysis program, where you get the last word in all the day's topical stories. Join us every Monday to Friday between the hours of 8 and 9 p.m. as we bring you in-depth analysis of issues making the headlines. Behind the News is also live across the country on Garden City Radio 92.1 in Kumasi, Radio Savannah 91.3 Tamale, Ura Radio 89.7 Bogatanga, GDC Katri FM 95.5 Kete Katri, Unique FM 95.7 in Accra, Unique FM 95.1 Osei Kojokrum, and remember, we are on GBC's Unique FM 95.7, which is online via TuneIn Radio.
A group calling itself the Agricultural College Students Union of Ghana has resolved to picket the Ministry of Food and Agriculture from tomorrow to make known its frustration. According to the group, the picketing is to also seek an immediate response from the sector minister concerning the group's two-week ultimatum it gave to the government on the issue of cancelled trainee allowance, poor state of infrastructure in the colleges, lack of employment for graduates, and the general neglect of colleges by the Ministry of Food and Agriculture. Another group, calling itself Coalition of Unemployed Agricultural College Graduates, is disputing the 1,200 extension officers engaged by the government under the Planting for Food and Jobs program. The coalition has described as a fallacy and political gimmick if any government official comes out to tell the good people of Ghana that it has employed 1,200 agricultural extension officers. The group has therefore challenged the government and the Ministry of Food and Agriculture to furnish the coalition with accurate statistics and data of those graduates they claim they have employed. So how genuine are these concerns? We have on the line the National President of the Agricultural College Student Union, Ghana, Samson Chimbu. Good evening, Samson, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, sir. Thank you.
Why do you want to leave the classroom and picket the premises of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture?
Yeah, hello on this month. We had a press conference and we demanded answers and solutions to our problems concerning the agriculture, the five agriculture colleges in the country. The country has five agriculture colleges. That is Dalango Agriculture College in the Northern Region, Wadasu Agriculture College in the Asante Region, Ejra Agriculture College also in the Asante Region, and we have Ohau Agriculture College in the Volta Region. And we have Animal Health and Production College, Apung Tamale, also in the Northern Region. You know, these colleges were set up years ago to train veterinary officers and competent extension officers so as to boost the food security in the country. But graduates from these colleges are not entitled to employment by government, and it's better for a very long time. But yet, your youth who have interest into the agriculture kept on going to the colleges, and they were learning a lot, trying to find themselves into this most fair farming and things. But there was a provision that was the students' allowances to them. Because since government stopped employing agriculture colleges graduates, it's not today.
When was that done?
Yeah, I don't have the accurate year they actually started, because they didn't just say they stopped, but it's just off and on, and you see that the students are not employed. The graduates, they are hanging around, there is no employment.
But as a coalition or a union, you should have a fair knowledge about the number of years that your seniors have not been employed.
Yeah, I've tried on several occasions to know the actual year they started. But if the authorities will tell you that it's about 10 or 6 years now they've stopped employing directly from the...
When you say they stop employing, what do you mean?
Yeah, it means that they don't employ graduates from the government as they do to the nurses and the teacher training or the...
So are you telling us that products from the colleges of agriculture in the country over the past, let's say even 5 years, have not been employed?
They've not been employed as I speak. And the only employment that I can boast of is a replacement. Maybe somebody is on pension, somebody's going on pension, then they need somebody, then they replace.
But how different is that from all other sectors?
Oh, it's different because from other sectors, you cannot go to maybe necessary school and complete it and say you should wait for a replacement to be done.
But are you aware that there are nurses who are in the house also not posted?
Yes, but that one I can say is recently. But our case, it has started for a very longer time, and we have been trying on several occasions for the issue to be addressed. Not because it's not easy. To be very frank, our sector, we are faced with a lot of problems in terms of employment and our own security within the sector.
Were you promised employment before you enrolled in school?
Oh, no, that one, we are sure there will be employment after school. But the issue is, the reason why we are going to pick it tomorrow is about the whole colleges and the sector, for our sector, and the colleges as a whole. Because with the agriculture colleges, if you go there as a student, you pay for your feeding, you pay for the maintenance, you pay for utilities, and as usual, you buy a house and things. And within the colleges, we have some things like internal and external attachment we do. And we go to the villages as an agriculturalist to meet farmers and then discuss issues with them, trying to show them what to do. And that would be the external. But we have also internal attachment where we stay in the school and the teachers, after normal lectures that you go and learn the book, the theoretical part, then you also go to the field and do those things.
So because of that, you want to be paid?
Hello?
Is it because of that you want to be paid?
No, I didn't say because of that I want to be paid. But I'm telling you the situation, what the students are facing. So the provision of allowance for the agriculture trainees was what the students were holding on until 2015-2016 academic year. Even when the cancellation of the allowance happened for the nurses and the teacher training colleges, students of agriculture were still paid until 2015-2016 academic year. And it was unfortunate because after the students had reported to the schools, that a letter came from the ministry indicating the fact that the allowance had been cancelled. Meanwhile, even before they could buy the forms and prepare to come to school, they were promised allowance. And some students had few even bond forms for their first week of the reporting. And it was indicating that they will be given allowance. To be very frank with you, students of these agriculture colleges are students that are coming from poor families, I'm telling you.
Well, if you say poor, for that is very related, because I know very poor families that students are in the universities and other training schools. But
I understand. What I'm telling you that I'm telling you the majority. I'm telling you.
But you are talking of only five schools. Have you done any research to find out that those in your schools are the poorest?
Yes, I understand the situation. I'm living with them. I'm the national president, and I know what the students are going through.
But I'm telling you that you haven't done any research to make that statement on national radio, unless you speak on research to tell me that compared to other five universities, polytechnics or colleges for education, these are the figures on the ground. Moving forward, you said you had a news conference and you gave the government a two-week ultimatum. You haven't heard anything and you are going to pick it. If you had a news conference and didn't get results, you think picketing will give you the results?
Yeah, we were trying to follow the democratic way of addressing issues. We had a press conference, but the government should have at least come out to tell us that these are the plans. Because our sector, for the cancellation of the allowance, they have not come out to tell us what actually happened. Why they are cancelling the allowance? Is it because they want to expand infrastructure so as to admit more students? Or just that?
Are you saying you are not aware of government did not tell you why they cancelled the allowance?
Yeah, what? Well, no, I only heard it, and it was for the others. They said the allowance was cancelled so that the funds could be channeled into expanding infrastructure so as to admit more students in the colleges. That is the nurses and the teachers in the colleges. But that issue or that policy did not affect the agriculture colleges, because I have observed and I've gone through the schools, and there have not been any improvement in the infrastructure, even maintenance. There's not been any maintenance in order to talk of expanding any infrastructure in the colleges. So if the allowance was cancelled and they are saying that they want to expand infrastructure in the various colleges, so they need more. It did not happen and it's not happening.
But you just said they cancelled yours in 2015, so just a year, technically.
Yes.
Is that not too short to expect massive improvement if they were going to base on what they give only five students the money to be used for infrastructure?
I don't think, I don't think it's too short. They should have come out to explain to us why the allowance was cancelled and what they are going to do.
Okay.
What are they going to replace with the allowance? Are they going to replace it with student loan? Are they going to support the student in some way, you know, some other way? To go through the training successfully.
But as students, have you contacted your principals to find out, or have you gone to the student loan trust to ask for assistance and you've been denied?
No, my principals do not have any idea about, because I've tried going to meet the director, the human resource director, the deputy director, but what they tell me is a government policy. If it's a government policy, fine. Government, the policies shouldn't affect us negatively. At least, if there is a change of policy, there should be something that can be replaced in order to help the students go through the training successfully.
Right. I just want to understand you. So, have you tried assessing the student loan?
No, they've not given us a guarantee to assess student loans from the authority. We are not entitled to any student loan. There's nothing like that.
Okay.
And when within the colleges. Even within students have to pay for, if you are going to do a training in terms of the machinery, the farm implements, the tractors, and then you as students have to come together to contribute money and things to be able to buy for the training.
So Samson, the challenges that you're talking about were not created by the current government. You argue that yes, it might have intensified. What did you do in the past?
We tried on several occasions, and we even had a press conference in Kumasi, that was last year, for this, but it did not work. And by then, I wasn't the national president. The national president was Mr. Dafaru. I just came to office this year, and we are beginning to follow. We are not concerned about the change of government or anything. We are not fighting, we are not politicians, we are fighting as students for our issue to be addressed. And the ministry has been there. It's still MOFA, and it's still Ministry of Food and Agriculture.
How much is involved here? The amount that was cancelled. How much were you paid?
Each student was paid 450.
So tomorrow you are picketing. What time are you doing that?
From 9 o'clock to 10, we should start.
Do you have police protection?
No, not actually.
Have you informed officials of the ministry that you will be coming?
Yeah, I've sent them letters concerning the picketing. I've sent the minister, the chief director, the director of human resource.
Have they responded to your letter?
I've sent the General Agriculture Workers Union, a CUC, Accra. I've also served them a letter. And I've served the PRO for the Minister of Food and Agriculture. I also served him a letter, Mr. Tanko.
But has any of them responded to your letters?
Not that is where we are picketing, because we are not volunteers. We don't enjoy making noise at the ministry or no. Was when we had a press conference, even before the press conference, I tried on several occasions to book an appointment with the minister as the student leader to tell him what actually we are going through and to let us have a roundtable discussion to see what we can do to help the students in one way or the other. But since they came to, I've tried on several occasions.
All right.
And I have never been given the opportunity. And even when I had a press conference, I give them 2 weeks ultimatum, and I did a follow up to the ministry. And I was requesting that at least we are not interested in making noise,
okay,
because it's not going to, it's not peaceful. As students, you may go around and make, but one issue to be addressed.
All right, Samson, I want to thank you very much for your time on our program tonight. Wish you all the best.
Thank you,
Samson Chimbu is the National President of Agricultural College Students Union of Ghana. We also have on the line the President of the Coalition of Unemployed Agriculture College Graduates, Kwame Asafo Buache. Good evening, Kwame, and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, hello. Good evening.
Turn down the volume on the radio by you so we can hear you clearly. We understand you holding a news conference tomorrow. What are you going to tell the people?
We're simply going out to tell the people about the plight of agricultural college graduates.
And what is that plight?
We've been meted unfair treatment.
Unfair define us.
Unfair define us. We've not been employed by the ministry after training.
Since when?
Since 2010, today.
All of you?
Yeah, all of us.
And you are about how many in number?
We are about 3,000.
3,000?
Yes.
The finance minister was in parliament yesterday, and he told the whole nation that some of the students, the products from your schools, have been engaged over 1,000, in fact, 1,200, the number he gave.
Yep. It isn't actually true. We've not received any letter from the ministry.
But the budget statement was also clear that 822 agricultural extension personnel trained by the agricultural colleges have been engaged.
Engaged or employed?
Both. If you are engaged, you are employed. You are engaged first before you are employed. You have to serve your mandatory 6 months if you are qualified before you are employed.
Yes. If the government comes out to say that it's a total fallacy or lie, in the sense that we've not been engaged, neither have we been employed by the ministry.
The government did not say it has employed all of you.
Yep. We know he came out boldly to say there are about 3,200 of us. They would recruit 1,200 in the first phase of the project.
Mm-hmm.
Then recruit the next 2,000, which is not actually so. We've never received any letter from the ministry indicating that they've recruited any of our members. That's the 1,200.
But are you aware of any of the people that government recruited?
Actually not aware.
You haven't seen them?
We've not seen them.
But the reality is that there are human beings who have been employed. You are claiming they are not from the colleges of agriculture. Government is saying they are. So whose words should we take?
The government has actually not employed any of the agricultural college graduates and the Ministry of Food and Agriculture.
Very interesting. So, 3,000 in number, and so if you have not been employed, government says you have been employed, some have been employed, and you think addressing journalists will be the next solution?
We think addressing journalists wouldn't be the next solution, but we would want to come out boldly for Ghanaians to know why we are being taken through and the kind of lies the government is trying to tell Ghanaians.
When you say lies, I'm sure those are your words, because we saw the people on national television who were employed. Some of them did grant interview to journalists, and they said they are from colleges for education. I mean, agriculture. You are saying no.
Yes, we are saying no. As I told you earlier, we've not received any appointment letter from the Ministry of Food and Agri.
But when you say we, you are 3,000 in number. So yeah, if 1,000, are you in the same town? You are scattered all over the country.
Yeah, we are in various regions.
So if somebody is living in Yapemeso and has been employed, how will you know if you are in Chirihin?
Currently, we have a coalition. That's why we are coming out boldly to say that. We are all linked up together. We communicate to ourselves. So whatever thing that's going on, we are informed, or we are pre-informed, this person has had employment, even with some of us.
You have also claimed that government has cancelled direct absorption of all agricultural college graduates into institutions such as Cocoa Board, the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, Fisheries Commission, Crop, Animal and Soil Research Institute. On what basis do you say that?
We said that in the sense that most of us, well, our seniors, when they completed, they were posted directly to these institutions. But after 2010 till now, nothing of that sort has been seen.
I'm sure you heard government at the time explain that there was an IMF condition, and as part of that, apart from education and health, all other sectors of the economy, they could only replace and not do massive employment.
Yes. We actually never had that news, or nothing of that sort had been explained to us in the previous years. But we were cool by that. We were staying in our houses, doing our part to help Mother Ghana thrive in the agri sector. But this current government came out to say the people that were not seen in the system for quite some time now, he's bringing them back into the system. That is recruiting agriculture extension agents. And nothing of that sort has been seen. For the past 4 months, he started saying that.
So what are you going to tell government? Are you giving another ultimatum?
Actually, we're not coming out with any ultimatum. Since he said he has recruited, or since the government says it has recruited 1,200 of our colleagues, we are currently coming to them to plead with them that if they have actually employed them, they should finish up with the data they said they've employed. If not so, we would wait.
But why would government finish you in your capacity as what? Government is not mandated to do that.
Government is not mandated to do that. One, we wouldn't hold him by his horn or by the horn that he should finish us. But we would wait patiently, the 1,200. Is it that we wait patiently for them to give us appointment letters to be given to the 1,200 they said they've recruited?
Why do you expect government to give you appointment letters to be given to those who have been recruited? It is not done anyway.
You and I would admit if it happens, or if it does not happen, so the government is only telling lies to Ghanaians.
Because the government is not channeling the appointment letters through you, which is supposed to be a confidential document, government is not telling the truth.
We are not saying that. We are not saying he should channel through us. But none of the graduates of agricultural colleges have been employed. They have
none, to the best of your knowledge.
Yes.
Okay. Want to thank you very much for your time. We wish you all the best, sir.
Right.
Kwame Asafo-Buachi is the president of the Coalition of Unemployed Agriculture College graduates. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. We have been joined on the line by the Minister of State at the Presidency in charge of Food and Agriculture, Dr. Nora Biele. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to Behind the News. Hello? It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. We shall try and raise Doc on the line. Keep your messages coming on 0266-026-941. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana.
It's probing, it's intrusive, yet exciting. Your daily news analysis program, Behind the News, is on Radio Ghana at 8 p.m. sharp, Monday to Friday. Join the crew and be part of all the interesting analysis.
Welcome back. It's Behind the News. We have Dr. Nora Biele back on the line. She's the Minister of State at the Presidency in charge of Food and Agriculture. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
So many issues surrounding your ministry. But first, we understand you are currently touring the three regions of the north. How is the Planting for Food and Jobs program going?
Well, it's going very well. They had been a few weeks ago, some districts were having some shortage of rainfall. But that lasted just for about 2 weeks. But the rains have picked up again. And the crops are doing very well.
We heard of floods in the northern region in particular. Has that in any way affected the farmers, those who are engaged on the program?
Not at all. The floods, that is in the lowlands. What really happened was the major effect of the floods was in the municipalities where gutters were choked, and so you had an overflow on the road, like we saw in Tamale, what led to the death of the woman. But on the farmlands, no.
It appears
they were good for the rice farmers.
Oh, okay. It appears from afar that you're so passionate about ensuring that more farmers from the three regions of the north participate in this program. Any explanation for that?
Well, it is because the poverty is endemic here in the north. Again, the north is more dependent on agriculture more than anywhere else in the country. And because of that, the program was designed with overcoming this kind of poverty and creating jobs for the people, because their main occupation is agriculture. And so the crops that were chosen are more suitable suited to the north, like the maize, the rice, the sorghum, and the soya and vegetables. You agree that these are the major, major crops in the three northern regions. That's why we are so much, you know, concentrated in getting as many farmers, because these crops are the ones that they grow.
Doc, a major setback to this particular program has been the fall armyworm invasion. You are on the ground. How's the situation in the northern part?
Well, we have managed to control the fall armyworm so far. We are not saying that there was no outbreak. There have been outbreak, and because of very fast intervention and this thing, we have managed to largely control the fall armyworm in the northern regions, which are now in their early stages of cultivation for this year. It surprises me that alarmists went ahead saying, oh, we must declare a state of emergency. The farmers in the north, if we care to interact with them and go to the fields, it will be very interesting to see that this year the farmers are even going to exceed what they have been doing, harvesting. And the evidences will soon come out that even the fields that were affected by the armyworm and they were sprayed, they now look healthier than the fields that have not been affected and have not been sprayed.
I don't know whether the effect is not just on the armyworm, but also on the growth of the crop. But when you see those fields that have recovered, they are doing excellently well.
Right. Well, let's move on to other issues. What's government? We understand government has engaged extension officers from the colleges of agriculture as part of measures to improve the sector. The students have argued that infrastructure at the colleges are not too good. What is government doing about that?
Well, there are plans to attend to infrastructure problems in the colleges. In the way of renovation and then providing them with necessary equipment that they can work with.
The students have also argued that you said you have engaged 1,200 of their products, but they claim none of their products so far has received appointment letter. So which people did you employ?
Well, I think they must listen very well. When because they are unemployed, they have to measure several things that come their way and then tell other stories. What is clear, this employment freeze has been there for several years. Now, extension officers and Greek workers that have gone on retirement for the past how many years, there have not been any replacements. So it is true that it's become critical that some districts are really lacking the extension staff. But because of the decentralization, these have been put under Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development. So all the district and regional agricultural departments are under local government and no more with agriculture. So they do the recruitment and they do the firing. But nevertheless, we do the policy and then we know how important it is to have this staff. So the moment MPP took over, under Nana Akufo-Addo, it has come to our attention about this critical shortage of staff. And we have written to the Minister of Finance asking for financial clearance. The Minister has presented a memo to Cabinet asking for permission to do a massive recruitment. And this is the topic now at the economic management team, for them to get the understanding. Agric is also like health, we said, because the veterinary officers, if they are not there, all the diseases that affect animals affect the human being. So we've told them to treat it like we're with health. And the plant diseases, too, and when plants are diseased and we eat, that is also a problem. So for the plant, food and jobs belong. We said that before we get the financial clearance from government to recruit more staff, which is not clear to only Agric, we said that for the number of Agric college graduates that have been waiting for the number of years, we will have to find a way to get them something doing before we get the clearance. And so we decided to draft 1,200 of them through the youth employment program, so that they will be deployed to the districts to help in the extension work and the planting for food and jobs while we wait for the financial clearance. So the moment the financial clearance is given, these ones that have gone in there to get their experience and are working will be drafted into the formal system.
Okay. So the students are right. You haven't employed them yet. You just engaged some of them. Temporarily.
We've engaged 1,200.
What explains the decision not to include students of the colleges of agriculture on the restored allowance for trainees?
Well, that is a matter that will still have to come as a cabinet decision, because the allowances were not withdrawn near our time. You are aware there have been a general of allowances from all training institutions, with some discretion given by the previous government. And since the MPP came in, I know they tried restoring the nurses one. They haven't gotten to the teacher trainings. And then the agri colleges put to say yes was withdrawn. So I believe the matter is being handled holistically.
What do you tell the students who are picketing tomorrow?
They are picketing tomorrow?
Yes, at the ministry. Two badges. Well, some are students and some are graduates.
Well, what I can say is that we are making efforts and we have written for financial parents to engage as many graduates as possible. And until we have gotten a reply from the Minister of Finance giving us that clearance, there is not much we can do.
All right. Doc, we want to thank you very much for your time on our show. Very grateful.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Nora Gwiele is the Minister of State at the Presidency in charge of food and agriculture. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. The Roads and Transport Committee of Parliament has given the go-ahead for the implementation of the controversial mandatory road tolling levy to be imposed on vehicle owners. The law, which was supposed to take effect early last month, was suspended to enable the Transport Ministry to hold stakeholders' engagement after massive public disapproval. According to the committee, the policy has already been entered into a contract with Road Safety Management Limited, and abrogating it will lead to possible payment of judgment debt, hence the decision to okay it. The implementation of the law will see vehicle owners and motorcycles pay a compulsory annual fee tied to the acquisition of roadworthy certificate. So on the line is the chairman of the Parliamentary Committee of Road and Transport. He's also the Member of Parliament for Ayin Suano, Samuel Ayepi. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you, my brother. My name is Ayepi.
Ayepi.
Yes.
Right. Thank you very much. What exactly was the motivation of the committee on roads to okay the mandatory road tolling levy?
Say good evening to your listeners. Let me go back a bit to explain the background of this whole issue. An LI was passed in 2012, Section 102 of LI 2180. Spells out that a mandatory fee paid on a good business certificate, and the money is engaged service officer to vehicles that are broken down on the major routes of the country in order to make collaborative. And based on the LI that was passed, a contract was signed by a private operator and the Minister of Transport and the agency, in this case, National Road Safety Commission. The commencement day for this project was supposed to be 1st July 2017. The public and the general asked the minister to postpone the commencement date upon this. As being practiced in Parliament, when Parliament passes an act or a LI or a CI and its implementation generates controversy, the committee really intervene and find amicable solutions and proper implementation of this project. So the Parliament Select Committee on Roads and Transport also intervened. And we invited the Minister for Transport, the National Road Safety Commission, and the private operator in the meeting, and after the meeting, we deduced that not a proper consultation and publicity was made before the implementation of the project. So we decided to engage the stakeholders, of whom some have already petitioned the committee. Engagement with the stakeholders of the road transport industry, for instance, the GPRTU, the National Road Coordinating Council. We met other private advocates on the road transport industry. We met the CSTC and other bodies who have shown concern, like a registered towing company limited and other small-scale towing companies and individuals who are using the towing cars like day and night Sarkozy, we had discussions with them. And the view that we had from our engagement with them indicates that we all want the project to come on, except that they were having some few issues which needed to be addressed. So we have come out with a report based on our engagement with proposals to the Minister for Transport to put those proposals in place and then see how best we can implement the project in order to make our roads very safe.
If I listen to you clearly, so it means the consensus you garnered from the people that led to this decision and not the fear of judgment debt.
Not. You see, I don't know where this fear of judgment debt issues came in. The issues that we met the stakeholders. And then they all came out to say that yes, because 22% of all fatal accidents that we receive in this country is as a result of a disabled vehicles that are parked on the road for other vehicles to run into it. So, for instance, when we met GPRC, they came out clearly that yeah, it is a fact. So they want the project to start. Their main problem was the counting of the fee. Of which if we look at our report, we suggested something that can compensate for the country. Other stakeholders like the small scale towing companies were also fear of their jobs, the fact that they are going to lose their jobs when this project is kickstarted. But we've asked the looking at our proposal, we've asked the private operator, the service provider, to expand the number of companies that you. Let this part of the contract to absorb this private towing vehicle so that they will not also lose their jobs. Other than that, all the stakeholders that we met. And we also found out from our engagement with the National Road Safety Commission and the general public that not enough education was made. If you read the contract and you look what is in the contract, it's not all about towing. It's also about preparation and construction of a vehicle reception center in the station where when the vehicles are towed, the operator is supposed to get reception centers at various centers where the vehicles will be sent to for the owners to go and pick their vehicles. Even the mechanics at the various reception centers, when the fault of the vehicle is not all that not a major fault. The vehicle owner may decide to repair his car there or take his car away to his mechanic to work on it. From there should be a proper security at the reception center. So we put all these factors into consideration. People were talking about the 85% going to the private investor. I'm talking about the service provider. We've looked into that. So we're taking 5%. Our proposal is taking 5% from the investor. And then we are giving 2.5% to National Health Insurance Authority. We are doing this because when accidents occur and the injured is sent to hospitals, some may not have their health insurance card available to them. Some also may not have National Health Insurance Authority. Their family members will not be there to pay for their treatment. So we are using 2.5% of the proceeds as a premium for the National Health Insurance for those who will may find themselves into that category.
When is this project?
2.5% to National Ambulance Company, because the National Ambulance Service also has 15 doing with us, and they have financial constraints. So we have proposed to the minister that you sit down with the private sector and take 2.5% off the proceeds to the Ghana Ambulance Service. So these are some of the
things. When is the project supposed to start?
Actually, if the minister will go by our report, I've asked them to intensify education and for Ghanaians to understand the project within a month, so they should be able to kickstart the project.
And so if that is anything to go by,
we can't be waiting. Look at what is happening. Now our attention has been drawn today, so we can now separate accidents that happens when vehicles around in state vehicles from other accidents. You can see clearly that it's very dangerous, more dangerous than any other form of accident. Recently, we had Kumasi Asantokotoko. Recently, we had a former MP for Akwetia, who's a lecturer in the medical school, who ran his vehicle into a speeding vehicle, he said in that direction. So it is important. We don't know when it will happen. People were talking about the rate. Yes, we've done that. We've gone into that. We found out that vehicles that are paying between 10 and 40 Ghana cedis a year constitutes about 80% of the total vehicles that I have. Those who are paying 100 and above are just very few.
Okay.
Vehicles. Even those who are paying 300 are less than
5. So with your revised thing, are motor owners also going to pay?
You see, there's this issue that we need to understand. You know, somebody may ask, do we tow motor vehicles? But it's a form of insurance that we are doing. If you don't pay for the bigger truck to get off the road, you run a motorbike into it, and you end up killing yourself. Also, we've seen a lot of cases where people are using their legs.
So they are included?
Yes, they are included. Motorcycles are included, because we all have to contribute to keep the road safe. That is not only about towing. It's also about when there's a falling tree on the road, and the Ministry of Roads and Highways or if agencies are not aware to clear them, they have to put out measures in place to make sure.
Briefly, sir, if you implement this and within 6 months you do not see change, will you reverse it?
Exactly. The contract itself is renewable every 5 years.
All right.
And also, we've asked the report, the proposal is asking the Ministry of Transport and lead agency, the National Road Safety Commission, to give biannual reports to the committee.
All right.
We are expecting that for the first instance, they should bring a comprehensive report to the committee. And if the report is given, we found out that, yes, the operator has violated any of the clauses in the contract, we'll make a proposal to the minister to abolish the contract.
Thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Samuel Ayepi is the chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Roads and Transport, a member of parliament for Ayin Swano. We also have on the line a road safety consultant and vice president of the Chartered Institute of Logistics and Transport, Godfred Achiandakwa. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Good evening to the listeners.
What is your position on the mandatory road towing levy?
I see this as unfortunate and it's just a push to the truth of Ghanaians. It's seriously unfortunate. I'm not in Accra. I'm coming to Accra, and they said they've done wild consultations. We have also done some wild consultations. And trust me, this is just a push. It's just because they fear people are saying, I don't know, I want to find out more. It's probably is it because they fear about some judgment that that's why they're pushing that this one on the truth of Ghanaians. So when project has been done in so many parts of the world, and it doesn't go this way.
But the evidence on the ground doesn't suggest the fear of judgment. The Ameri deal is being reviewed in Parliament, so this one can also be reviewed if the fear of judgment, there is anything to go by.
Yes. So, even throwing that one aside, there are so many countries in this world doing towing, and it is never nationalistic, and it's never compulsory, and it's never forced on the truth of people. The towing system has been in practice for so many years, and they allow private companies to run it, and people subscribe to it, but not compulsory as they want to do it. And in fact, if government want to force this one compulsory on people, claiming that they've done well this one consultation, the consultation they did probably with people who are sticking to their interests, and it should be the general interest of the masses. And I must be honest, the general public, I've gone around from the south to the north, and everywhere I go, especially this one, people are not never satisfied with this and it becomes so. I've called some other people and other stakeholders which are seriously dissatisfied, and we are coming to Accra Friday, we are meeting. So whatever paper we have to also issue to the Parliamentary Select Committee, we would also issue it to them. But we should let them know that they should never say that it is the interest of Ghanaians. Ghanaians are not happy about it. It is not correct, and we think something better should be done. If there's proper arrangement that can be done to address it because somebody has imported some machinery somewhere and they want to try to cover the cost. That should be done another way. But this way, it's a compulsory data and it's not in the interest of Ghanaians. And this type of taxation, it is a compulsory tax that is living on a vehicle holder. And I believe that vehicle owners in Ghana are not going to sit down for this way to go like that.
All right. Thank you very much for your time on our show. Wish you all the best and safe journey to Accra. Godfred Achiadakwa is a roads safety consultant and vice president of the Chartered Institute of Logistics and Transport. We also have on the line the marketing communications manager of Road Safety Management Service, Roland Walker. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, sir.
What's your reaction to the approval given by Parliament for the implementation of this controversial mandatory toll levy?
As far as we're concerned, we welcome it. And we know that the committee, that's the Committee on Roads and Transport of Parliament, met widely, not only us, but all the various stakeholders, and they had extensive deliberations. For us, as the lead partner in this whole project, we have to emphasize that the project is not meant to have an entity take control of any kind of service or industry. Indeed, if you look at the structure as proposed by the transaction advisor for the National Road Safety Commission, it is supposed to be an all-encompassing structure in which every body within the tollway industry becomes a player. And so wherever you're located in Ghana, once you have the requisite equipment and then you have the necessary policies of insurance that will cover the motoring public, then you become part of the whole process that would ensure that consistently all risks that are seen, that are notified, that are noticed on the road are taken off. And we're talking about broken down cars that have accidents and cars that get abandoned on the road.
How are you going about the implementation?
We should say that we are the lead implementing agency, but there needs to be extensive public education, as again proposed, because this had been part of the whole plan. The National Road Safety Commission is a lead agency. They have the Ghana Police Service, which they work closely with, the DVLA, and we as the service providers then fall in line. And so the whole initiative is not a private sector-led initiative, but the service is a private sector-led initiative. But the whole structure to make sure that Ghanaians have a deeper understanding is all-encompassing. What the Committee of Parliament has been able to do is to again tell us that it is critical, it is crucial, and that we need to deepen the understanding of the general public of many of these things. Because for all the things that will happen, if you look at the necessary undertakings that need to be done to make sure that rigs or cars that get abandoned or get broken down on the road are towed, you get to find that the vulnerable, as well as those who will not be in a certain position to pay outright, they are the ones that tend to, one, be at the end of the receiving end of whatever accidents that happen.
Secondly,
you get to find innocent people, some even who have comprehensive insurances on their vehicle, also running into some of these vehicles, then they cause the fatalities and the maiming of the individuals that we tend to see.
All right. We shall come back to you, certainly, for details when you roll out detailed implementation plan. But thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Roland Walker is the Marketing Communications Manager of Road Safety Management Service. We also have on the line the National Chairman of the Ghana Private Road Transport Union, GPRTU, Kwame Nkrumah. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
What is your position on this road tolling levy?
Let me greet your listeners. The road tolling levy is good for us to do. Because the reason why I'm saying that, lots of accidents we are having in Ghana here, the cars parking, if the cars fall on the road, and especially the big trucks and the big buses, and if they can't make this now, they stand on the road sometimes 3 days or 4 days. And the driver coming don't know that there's a car at the spot. Sometimes they won't put any signal. So you go and jump with the car. And lots of accidents have happened in Ghana here. So with this initiative we are bringing, it will help us for the road to be smooth for us. So I pray that each and everyone to put everything aside and let us think about Ghana first. Because if you are a driver and you are a professional driver, what they are saying, you agree that it will help all of us.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on us. We wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too. Kwame Nkrumah is the National Chairman of the Ghana Private Road Transport Union, GPRTU. My producers have been Asibi Bangu, Ikela Seteia, John Pobi, Beland Elom Tete, Suel, Nana Majikum, and Philip Boaten. Patience, Dovlu Amua, was our sound engineer. I am George Asikri.